You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Welcome to my house. What he said. Good Tuesday morning. Brent Newsom's going to join us today. Japanese launched their Marine Corps, and we're going to talk about that. Actually, we talked about it a few weeks ago. Grant gave a lot of credit to some guys down at OneMF who continued to involve the Japanese Maritime Self-Defense Force. In an exercise called Steel Knight. And it has evolved until now it's front page news around the world. Because it is aimed smack dab at Xinhua. So we're going to talk to Grant about that. I honestly, I've the two subjects I've learned the most about after post-traumatic stress and transitioning are Vietnam, since I started doing the show 2 years ago, and the other one that I've learned, a subject that I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to, is events in the Pacific Rim. And I will tell you, I certainly missed the boat on that, but I think, the United States is, I don't understand, as I look at it, I don't understand what the United States is doing in the Pacific. Again, the rule of law is important around the world. You know, we're seeing it, in Syria, waiting to see how this plays out. You know, I was reading an article, I don't know, I think it was last night. I will tell you what, it's a very well-written article on BuzzFeed. And so if you've never been there, BuzzFeed.com, and it's an article about the Israeli strike that got confused for an American strike. And hold on. It said that Israel sent a message to Iran, Russia, and the United States. And so, what it talked about is, do you remember, I want to say early February, when when the Israelis got after the Syrians / Iranians, read Iran, all right, because what you're seeing in Syria is ultimately a war between Israel and Iran. And then there's just other people standing between them, which is Iran's specialty. So, and then so, I'm trying to find this article. So, what they postulated in at one point in this article is that the Iranians baited the Israelis into what they call a sambush, which is the Iranians were flying a knockoff of an American drone, and they flew this thing deliberately from a base called T4. And the Israelis tracked it, and when it entered into Israeli airspace, they shot it down with I want to say an Apache helicopter. Then they launched a series of F-16 strikes. Well, the Syrians / Iranians were hoping that would happen, and they had 16 surface-to-air missile batteries involved in this altercation at some point. Shot down one, for the first time in history, shot down an Israeli F-16. So, today, as we contemplate, the president canceled a trip to South America because of whatever action we will take again in Syria. The caution is, Whoever authorized this, right, you know that the American threat and already one historical strike of, 52 Tomahawk missiles in response to the last time they used these agents. So, again, I would be very careful that the Russians aren't looking to make the United States look weaker than it already looks in the region. So, again, I venture to say caution. And so it's the whole point about telegraphing these kind of things. So I don't know what's going to happen in Syria. But there's smart guys I know that are working on the problem. They tend not to do stupid things. And so we'll see. We'll see. But when I find the article, I will tee it up for everybody. But a very, very interesting article about why the United States needs to stay in the region. Right? Why it's important for us to be there. And not to pack our bags and blah, 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 blah. So, anyway, so that in the news today. The, and then there's always the videotape of, just disgusting stuff that is done to civilians. And, again, you have to be a special piece of garbage to do that. Because those weapons are, I don't even know how to describe them. They're absolutely inhuman, which is why there's so many treaties about them and whatnot. So now when you see that kind of videotape rolling around on YouTube and it's little kids and things like that, I mean, it is, it's disgusting. One of the things that perplexes me is, where is the rest of the world? Where is anybody else's outrage? All of Europe silent, mute about it? Like, I don't, China, mute about it? All these global powers that don't have anything to say about somebody using weapons of mass destruction. So it's, I don't know. It's a crazy, crazy, and it seems like it gets crazier by the day world that we live in. So I am, again, we will see what happens, but it'll be interesting to see what the United States does. And then interesting to see, what Russia does, because Russia is very much, attempting to flex its small, limited muscles in the region, for the sake of Mr. Putin's, con game that he runs on the rest of the planet. So, again, looking on that today. I got another interesting email that said that they were laughing at something I said yesterday about how horrible the news is some days. and the gist of the email is, I've very much taken to insulating myself from the news. I've deliberately shut down much of my access to the internet, and I installed an app on my phone that counts how many times I check things on my phone. And I found that to be very interesting. I did not realize how addicted I was to my cell phone till I installed that app and it starts talking to me. Hey, you're doing this. Hey, you're doing this. Hey, you're doing this. Do you realize you're doing this? You know, and I will, my friends and I have discussed this on occasion, that in a country that seems to be more and more polarized, that can't even agree on a common set of facts in which to have a debate, you know, how do you live in that world? You know, how do you live? How do you hold a discussion when you can't even agree, you know, that it's important to be a nation of laws? What do you do with that? So, a lot of people are unplugging for their own quality of life issues. So very, very interesting. Another email I got last night was kind of funny. Somebody emailed me after the show and said, hey, Mac, how about this whole theater of this stripper and the president? She essentially assigns a non-disclosure agreement, realizes that there's more money to be made, and violates it, and now has the president of the United States in her crosshairs. That's a pretty amazing story. I saw that she's in a publication, which I won't name, posing. Pretty impressive cash grab that she makes. Yeah, but it takes two to tango. Right? And as sympathetic as I may be to some of his policies, he doesn't do himself any favors. By the way, he conducts himself, the things that he says and whatnot. But again, in this polarized world, what's the alternative vision? Hillary Clinton? Bernie Sanders? Even left of Hillary Clinton? So, I'll tell you, I think that's one of the more interesting subjects of the, and we'll get to the news here in a minute, but much was made of that, of the Democratic win in Pennsylvania here about a month ago. Former Marine, pro-life, anti-Nancy Pelosi, pro-gun. He's a, what do they call him, dino? Democrat in name only, man. If we take labels off it and say, what party is this guy? You know, so what'll be interesting is the Democratic Party. When I was a kid, my dad was a Democrat. My mom was a Republican, you know, and my dad used to say, you know, Democratic Party is a party of the working man. You know, my family, we're working class Irish people, and Democratic Party represented us. That's not the Democratic Party anymore. Democratic Party is a is a liberal party. And this little, I say this, but it's true. This little piece of audio from John Kennedy, if you stood up as a Democrat and said this, they would run you right off the stage. Uh-oh. Something bad just happened. All of a sudden, audio that's supposed to be there is vanished. Why? You know how your computer does stuff? And you're looking at it, and like it did some kind of maintenance thing overnight. All of a sudden, things that are supposed to be there are not there. What the hell? To include the Marines hymn. Yeah, that little piece of audio. Gone. It's not there anymore. Oh, boy. All right, so we will nonetheless press on. Good morning to you. Welcome to All Marine Radio on a Tuesday. Grant, as I said, Grant Newsham, good to join us. And we're going to talk about the Pacific. China, again, I put a little search on my phone. I opened up a new window in my phone browser, right? And so I just typed in South China Sea. And so it'll search for, on the news tab in there, when I do a Google search, tap on news, right, South China Sea. And now I see all the different stories that are coming up. The president of the Philippines is going to meet with President Xi this week at some kind of Asian summit that's going on. But he's not really sure. He's not going to bring up the whole territorial dispute. What they're now looking to do is find ways to work together and develop these ventures jointly. And it's really astounding when you read it, because what the Chinese have been successful in doing is enforcing this nine dash line that they have declared is in effect. And the Philippines took, and it's interesting, all these maritime disputes. So I was reading about them over the weekend. All these maritime disputes. So you and I disagree about, let's just say it's a reef, and we go to the International Court of The Hague under maritime jurisdiction, and we go to this court. Well, this court decides whether it is an actual piece of terrain or if it's simply some rocks sticking out of the ground, out of the water. Okay? And then they differentiate between those. And then they make that determination, and then after they make that determination, they go ahead and they say, if they interpret whether you have any historical claim to it. So the Philippines took China. The Philippines took China to court. And the International Court out of The Hague that rules on it rules unanimously in favor of the Philippines. And China simply ignores it. Yeah, who's going to enforce that? And so they have pushed Vietnam to stop developing different oil and gas exploration ventures with a Spanish firm on two separate occasions. Instead, telling them that they need to develop with Chinese firms, in a different location. So it's amazing. and then all the different islands are now attempting to create some development. And then I want to say yesterday, if you are familiar with the geography of the South Pacific, the Chinese are attempting to negotiate the rights to a military base, I want to say in there are islands to the east of Australia. Okay. So if you know where Australia is, right? And so China's no small Pavuvu. Vanuatu, I think, is the island. Right? So these islands have long begged for some kind of development. Well, now they have a customer. The Chinese are gonna come calling, and can you imagine? The Chinese come to you and say, we'd like to put a military base. Well, these islands, yeah, Espiritu Santo Island is part of Vanuatu. And I think that's the one in the news. And so the Chinese say, yeah, we want to put a permanent military base within 2,000 kilometers or so of Australia. Yeah, and that begins a second layer of defense in the Pacific, and they go in there with their money to relatively impoverished islands, offer them their money, offer them payments, offer to be partners with them. Nobody else is coming calling. So what would you say if you were in charge of that island? Well, unless the United States or Australia wants to supplant the revenue that the Chinese are talking about, you know, we will go ahead and we'll cut a deal with them. Why wouldn't we? It's in the economic interest of our citizens. We will be able to provide things that we've never been able to provide in our lives with this partnership with the Chinese. Now, the fact that we have to dance with the devil, should that rightly concern us? We don't see the Chinese as a threat to us. Although they will be. But yeah, that's what's going on across the Pacific. So it's really interesting. I'd largely not paid attention to the Pacific till we started having Grant come on. And now I've been sensitized to it, and now I'm intellectually curious about what is the American response to all of this? We do Freedom of Navigation Act stuff. That's our response. You know, and so instead of, you know, strengthening and putting a lot of emphasis on our alliance in the Pacific, in order to let's just maintain the legal framework. The South China Sea is an incredibly important body of water because you have the Malaccan Straits down there, and that is access to the Indian Ocean from the Pacific. So, yeah. Unless you want to be eliminated from that region, that includes Japan, Malaysia, Borneo, Indonesia, the Philippines, unless you want to be excluded from that region, and it's because the Chinese has simply proclaimed it, just like the Russians did, relative to Sevastopol and the Crimea. Yeah, there's issues. It's historically ours. They're not being taken care of, and so we will go ahead and we will invade that country, and the world stands by and watch it. And then we go on, and then it goes on. You know, so the stuff that goes on around the world and the response. I won't lay it at the United States and the response of the free republics of the world, to me, is a bit head scratching, and so to me, there ought to be a dual track. you know, the president can say what he wants in public, but, you know, in private, on the phone, those alliances should be strengthened, reinforced, and made better in both the Pacific and in the Atlantic, because, you know, you can have your differences, but at the end of the day, we will all hang together, or surely we will all hang separately. So that's where that thing sits. And I don't see how it works. I don't see how it works any other way. So, all right. With all that said, we'll talk to Grant about, he has a little piece that he wrote about, that he wrote about what's next for Japan. I mentioned yesterday that that in an editorial, a little editorial I did over the weekend, that hopefully Germany was watching Japan, because Europe needs Germany to restore its military and stop being a freeloader. Economic superpower in Europe. Military non-entity. Military freeloader. Okay, World War II's over, bro. Time for you to get the drums out, right? Get the tanks out. You're a free democratic nation now. Time to act like one and contribute like one instead of freeloading off everybody else. And in particular, freeloading off the taxpayers of the United States of America. Do your share. Anywho, we'll talk to Grant about all of that. So, with all of that said, good morning to you on a Tuesday, the 10th day of April, 2018. Red Sox-Yankees play tonight. Income tax is due in 5 days. 6 if you count today. So, good morning to you. This is dedicated to the small group that is sitting around contemplating what we should do in a response to Syria. Here's hoping that they, how do I say this, that they do the right thing, that they think everything through, and we send a message to Syria and the people that pull the strings in Syria, the Iranians and the Russians, that it's important that you broadly live within the boundaries of what the international community thinks is right.
We are proud to play the So, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
More than two.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Sunion 48 in Quantico right now with a small craft advisory for the Potomac River and the Chesapeake Bay, just so you know, in case you're planning on using your boat this afternoon. Cloudy and 51 at Camp Lejeune, small craft advisory off the Carolina coast. Sunny, partly sunny in 56 in Granbury, Texas. Montana, finally warming up. Clouds in 46 in Montana right now, so that's a friggin' heat wave up there, man. Summer has joined us. 29 Palms warming up. It is sunny in 63 already. Yesterday, into the high 90s, 29 Palms, yeah. It was 84 here. When it's 84 here, it's over 100 up there. Yeah, it was down the hill in Palm Springs. I want to say it was low 90s. Camp Pendleton, sunny in 52. Okinawa, cloudy, dark, 71. Getting warmer there. Marsha, cooled off a little bit. Clear, dark, in 78 in Afghanistan. Costa Mesa, mostly cloudy in 59. The wind chill sits at 59, too, in case you were wondering. Winds are out of the south at 2, looking for a high of 81 today. Yeah, it was too hot yesterday. 87 or some ridiculous number like that. All right, tomorrow, looking for a high of 70, and on Thursday, 69 degrees. No chance of precipitation. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check Marine Corps headlines, DOD headlines. Grant Newsham going to join us in about 24 minutes. That's right, via Skype, the wonder of Skype. All right. So sit back, relax, enjoy the morning. Thanks for joining us. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Ed Sheeran.
Find the lovers of the bar is where I go. Me and my friends sat at the table doing shots, tripping fast, and then we talk slow. Come over and start up a conversation with just me, and trust me, I'll give it a chance. Now take my hand, stop, and the man on the jukebox, and then we start to dance. And now I'm singing like, girl, you know I want your love. Your love was handmade for somebody like me. Come on now, follow my lead. I may be crazy, don't mind me, say.
All right, time to check the Marine Corps headlines. Not much new in the news these days, at least today anyway. There's an update on the sniper rifle story. That's not news. All right, the president promises a decision on the U.S. response to suspected chemical weapons attack in Syria. So we stand by. That's not anything shaking. Pentagon strips Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria troop numbers from the web. The quarterly reports now removed and stripped of Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan statistics were a way to provide some transparency in the number of forces involved in the fighting in the fight against ISIS and the Taliban. Now, it's interesting because the Secretary of Defense said that, you know, he thought it was important that the Department of Defense be transparent and not play games like the Obama administration played towards the end of President Obama's administration, that there was numbers that were published. Those numbers were not very close to being accurate. And he did that because he did not want to suffer the political ramifications of increasing those numbers. So this is kind of a turnabout. After months of review, the Pentagon has released a quarterly report of the number of troops serving overseas, minus any data it previously reported about the number of service members deployed in combat. The Defense Manpower Data Center for years has reported quarterly the number of active duty National Guard and Reserve forces assigned to each state and stationed at each country overseas. When asked why last week the quarterly report still had not posted, a defense official said DMDC is currently updating their policy for these reports. The information should be available soon, and retroactive numbers will be available. The Pentagon typically reports each quarter's data 3 months after the quarter ends. The December report, however, just had a blank space where Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan figures used to be. An asterisk at the bottom said, with ongoing operations, any questions concerning DOD personnel strength numbers are deferred to OSD Public Affairs / Joint Chiefs of Staff. They also stripped Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan numbers from previously released the September report with some disclaimer. Interesting. Interesting. So I'm sure it'll be a controversy for the people that believe that, you know, that lack of transparency is somehow or other nefarious, and we have to get to the bottom of this. In terms of operational stuff, I think that those of us who have ever done that would question the need to publish exact numbers on those websites. All we do is we give that information to our foes, let them worry about the number of people we have there. The other headline that I would say is break squelch, which means it is significant enough to bring up, is President Wynn's pledges of 1,600 troops to be sent. This is by what I would call willing governors to go to the border. And again, third time in, 15 years that this has happened, the third different president to do it. Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas all made pledges, and they add up to half of the 4,000 troops that the president requested. Some Guard members started arriving at the border states, and federal government officials say they have discussed how they'll use those troops. The only holdout so far, shocker, is the state of California, led by Democratic Governor Jerry Brown, who has not announced whether troops from his state's National Guard will participate. Brown has repeatedly fought Trump on over-immigration policy. Under the federal law, Trump invoked in his proclamation calling for National Guard troops. Governors who send troops retain command and control over their state's Guard members, and the U.S. government picks up the cost. Arizona Governor Doug Ducey told a group of soldiers preparing to deploy from a Phoenix military base that their, quote, mission is about providing manpower and resources to support agencies on the border, and denied that there was any political motive. I don't think this is a partisan issue or an identity issue, he said. You show me somebody who is for drug cartels or human trafficking, or this ammunition that's coming over a wide open and unprotected border here. Texas Governor Greg Abbott told the San Antonio radio station KTSA that he would add about 300 troops a week until the total number reaches about 1,000 troops. Some Guard members will be armed if they are placed in potential danger, Abbott said, adding he wanted to downplay speculation that our National Guard is showing up with military bayonets trying to take on everybody that's coming across the border, because that is not their role. There's no end date for the deployment, the governor of Texas said. We may be in this for the long haul. From New Mexico, Governor Susana Martinez's office said that more than 80 troops would deploy later this week. They will be the first of an expected 250 members of the New Mexico National Guard to serve on the border. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster, a Republican, offered to send members of his state's guard as well. South Carolina sent troops to the border during Operation Jumpstart, the border deployment ordered by President Bush in 2006. In California, the governor's spokesman said Monday that the state officials were still reviewing Trump's troop request. So expect with great fanfare the governor of the state of California. Now, the president has recourse, though. California is not a sovereign nation. The president could assert his right to activate the guard, and then they will control it. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens there. The other story is, and we'll get Mike's comments on this here in a little bit, but the Marine Corps is getting ready to award a contract for the newest version of the AAV. This thing has been going on forever. That's right, forever. So it'll be interesting to see what if the Marine Corps ultimately does it. The Amtrak was in service when I joined the Marine Corps in the early 80s. It's still in service today. After a number of service life extension programs, blah, 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 blah. Congratulations to former United States Army or a United States Army veteran, Senator Tammy Duckworth of the state of Illinois. She becomes the first Earth while in office. Yeah. Can you imagine that? For those of you who don't know her story, she lost her legs in a helicopter crash in Iraq. I'm not exactly sure what year it was, but she has served in the House and is now one of Illinois' sitting senators. So, yeah, the first time in history. So what does that tell you about our Senate? First of all, probably not too many women, and the women that got elected are old. We need to change that. Age limit for the Senate. Age limit to be elected. Okay? You can't, once you hit your 80s, you're out. Sorry, we think you should go play golf and enjoy that big pension that you got. Okay? Go be a lobbyist. Go be part of the swamp. But I think that when you're in your 80s, you should not be doing that. All right. The other big story in the news is news out of North Korea that Mr. Kim went on TV in his own country. Yeah, something he hadn't done as of yet. So he took in a little bit of a concert last week. All-girl South Korean group that performed in North Korea. He evidently took it in. This is on the heels of his train trip to Beijing. Somebody sent a email last week to me and said, you know, Mac, if you said Peking, your kids would look at you and say, what are you talking about? Yeah, we grew up with it as Peking. Then it became Beijing. If you told your kids Peking, they would like, what are you talking about? Isn't that a menu item? Yeah, shut up, stupid. It's not a menu item. All right, top five stories in the early bird. Yeah, so congratulations to Tammy Duckworth, a veteran and first woman to have a first senator to ever have a baby. It's awesome. And it's just news of every day of just garbage, political garbage that goes on. Yeah, something a little bit different. Interesting story out of Germany in terms of the early bird. Number one story in the early bird. Pashtuns rise up against war, Taliban, and Pakistani military. It's kind of interesting. A new movement has sprung up in Taliban's Pashtun-dominated northern areas. Its supporters, wary of their region being used as a battleground for years, have taken on both the Taliban and the nation's powerful military. On May 15th, it will be 30 years since Soviet troops pulled out of Afghanistan. That's hard to believe, isn't it? leaving the war-ravaged country to the Mujahideen. Thousands of people had died during the 1980s Afghan War, in which the Mujahideen were backed by the Pakistani military and the U.S. What followed the Soviet withdrawal was even more mayhem and bloodshed, with competing jihadist factions fighting for control over the capital of Kabul. The infighting ceased in 1996 when a group of Islamic students on both sides of the porous Afghan-Pakistan border captured Kabul, allegedly with the help of Pakistani authorities. A deadly calm prevailed for years, but massive human rights violation continued until 2001 when the U.S. avenged 9/11 terrorist attacks by bombing Afghanistan and ousting the brutal Taliban regime. Now, this is out of Germany, so when you hear brutal Taliban regime, it's not an American article. For a brief period of time, Afghans had hoped their country would finally experience peace, but the ensuing civil war, which continues to date, has killed thousands more. The Battle of Afghanistan continues. The Afghan and Pakistani Taliban, who Kabul and Washington say received support from the Pakistani army and its inner service intelligence, the ISI as it's known, control vast swaths of territory in the war-torn country. But on the Pakistani side, the tribal areas along the Afghan border, long refuge for bad people, continue to suffer due to Islamic activities and the security force operations that cause deaths and displaced people on a very large scale. At the heart of these never-ending wars, Islamic extremism, militancy, and human suffering have been the Pashtuns, who are in a majority in the Pakistani northern parts and most of Afghanistan. Since the 1980s, at least three generations of Pashtuns have paid a heavy price for a conflict that was thrust on them from the outside. Now a secular movement led by young activist Manzoon Pashtin has struck a chord with thousands of Pashtuns who say enough is enough. The Pashtun Tahfiz Movement, Movement of the Protection of Pashtuns, PTM, blames both the Pakistani military and the Islamists for the destruction of the region. Essentially an anti-war campaign, the PTM sprang up as a result of the killing of 27-year-old Naqibullah Masood, who was killed by police in the southern city of Karachi on January 20th. The authorities claim Masood had links with militants, a charge his family and civil society activists deny. Rights groups say thousands of Pashtun youths have been murdered or abducted by security agencies in the past decades for unproven terrorism charges. State authorities used the pretext of war on terrorism to persecute Pashtuns, they say. Over the years, Pashtuns have been abducted, branded as Islamists or militants due to the fact that the Taliban are also a Pashtun-dominated outfit, and because the radicalism in the country's northern area has spiked over the years as a result of the decades-long war. So, interesting little story there. If the Pashtuns said enough is enough, that would be a big deal, because they are the safe haven of many of the most radical in the tribal regions of northwestern Afghanistan and northeastern Pakistan. Number two story. Some troops could owe thousands to keep TRICARE. These are Chicken Little stories, but they are what they are. Troops and family members who miss monthly TRICARE premium payments due to a contractor swap January 1 must make up missed payments as well as pay 1 or 2 months in advance to reinstate the coverage, TRICARE officials confirmed on Monday. When TRICARE shifted regions and contractors, January 1st, premium payment information was reset for thousands of beneficiaries in the West region and the former North region. Those payers were sent letters by mail in November notifying them to update their payment information or risk losing coverage entirely after January 1. All right, so if you're involved in that, it's in the news. Stand by. But what you ought to do is call them and begin to remedy this situation. Third story comes out of Politico this morning, and then we got to run. Senators crafting new guidelines for Trump's war powers. Congress could win some checks on the president's authority under a bipartisan Senate plan. President Donald Trump would have broad authority to wage war against terrorists across the globe under a new proposal being crafted in the Senate, though Congress would win some key checks on that power. According to a summary obtained by Politico, the proposed bipartisan authorization of the use of military force would cover all terrorist groups that the United States is currently engaged with and do nothing to restrict operations against those groups. The authorization would also not restrict the president from taking immediate action against enemies in new hotspots, although all new conflicts would be subject to congressional reviews. No final decision has been made on the authorization's language, pending sign-off from senators in both parties, but the summary reflects the latest thinking in a bipartisan effort to finally force Congress to vote on issues of war and peace. Doesn't happen. Yeah, it's interesting. Doesn't happen. And we'll see if the president will even go for it. Pentagon strips Iraq Syria numbers from the web. Trump promises a decision today. And let me see if there's any other Marine Corps stories, because you've heard those. Marine Corps is about to introduce the most powerful helicopter ever fielded in the United States, and that is the CH-53 Kilo. The Marine Corps flies the Echo right now, and it'll enter service next year, replacing aging and worn-out CH-53 Echoes. While the two aircraft look similar, have comparable footprints, program managers said Monday, at the annual Sea Air Space Exposition that goes on in Washington, D.C., that the new aircraft represents a leap forward in capability and intelligence. This is the most powerful helicopter the United States has ever fielded, said Marine Colonel Hank Vanderbrot, the Marine Corps' H-53 program manager. Not only the most powerful, but the most modern and also the smartest. The Sea Stallion recently lifted an external load of 36,000 pounds into a hover and hoisted a joint light tactical vehicle into the air, expanding a capability envelope that is ultimately expected to see the new helicopter carrying three times the load that its predecessor could handle. And let me tell you, the Echo could carry some heavy shit, too. But wow, three times the load? Smart controls and a fly-by-wire make the aircraft safer to fly and decrease the workload for the pilot. Quote, a month ago, I got to fly the 53 kilo for the first time, Vanderbrot said. It is absolutely night and day between the Echo and the Kilo. I could pretty much have flown the entire flight without touching my controls. That matters, he said, because 99%+ of aviation mishaps are caused by human error. Quote, it degrades visual environments. We lose sight of the ground and crash the aircraft. If you're able to take the human out of the loop, you're going to increase the safety factor by multiples of X. That's what the 53 Kilo is going to do for Marines. The argument has long been for the Kilo. It does the same thing for helicopters that the F-35 does for fixed-wing aviation. And that is, it's a smart aircraft. There's a huge move afoot, and I talked to General Allen about this months ago, about artificial intelligence. And most recently, in that discussion, it involved ships. And his point to me was this, Mac, there's artificial intelligence that's capable of, he said, for a United States war vessel, it would be tracking things that maybe technicians on the ship are ignoring, right? So radar technicians not paying attention to the surface plot. The ship's artificial intelligence would, where these plots are in time and space relative to the ship's course. The ship's artificial intelligence would ultimately remind you about certain things. If those reminders were disregarded, right, the artificial intelligence could override those people on the bridge to move the ship away from what the ship would perceive as danger and a collision. Same technology being applied to air platforms. While the pilot may not see it, now there's sensors that tell you, and artificial intelligence that just like it modifies the track of a vehicle now, right? We see all the commercials on TV. It senses something. It begins to brake before the driver does. But again, not a perfect system. We've certainly seen these systems fail, but that's the kind of technology now that you're seeing in terms of artificial intelligence being able to operate technology in excess of the pilot. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, Grant Newsham's going to join us. We'll talk about what's next for the Japanese Maritime Self-Defense Force and the Japanese military as Japan looks at a nemesis that's coming. I won't say it's over the horizon anymore. It is on the horizon. All right. The South China Sea nations have already bent to China. When you have a ruling from an international court that says they have no historical basis for what they're doing there, and you say, yeah, well, we're not going to really push that. We're going to cooperate, which is exactly what the Philippine government is doing. We're going to develop these jointly with the Chinese. We think that's a better way. That is China doing whatever the hell it wants to and then seeking to close off the South China Sea to other nations. That's wrong as wrong could be. So we're going to talk to Grant about what Japan does next. This headline kind of rippled around the world. Grant's made us smart since not too long after we came on the air about things in the Western Pacific. So we will talk to him. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Tuesday edition right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.